Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Gregory Stories, the radio show about the life and times of Gregory Gerard, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. Your host is Gregory Gerard, a.k.a. G-Money, the self-proclaimed pimp comic, and the teacher from the streets. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard. You can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, and leave a comment. If you're an artist with original music or lyrics, just send your press kit to Gregory at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. On today's show, Gregory tells more stories from his life and takes calls from his listening audience. To listen in or join the conversation, go to blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard or call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. And now, here's your host, Gregory Gerard.
My daddy had a friend that had a big house in South Central LA, and he ended up putting a pool in the backyard of his house, and it was great because every time we played, we went to his house to swim in his pool, and he had three big Great Dane dogs that were running around the yard in the pool area. And me and my brothers were swimming in the pool. And as long as we were swimming in the pool, the dogs were jumping in the pool behind us. When they came up, the dogs would be right there waiting for them. I mean, this dog was like a giant horse. And when you came up to get air, he pounced on you. We had to get away, or we had to drown. Now imagine swimming in the pool, and you get a big Great Dane chasing you around the pool. And he would dive in the pool right after us. And he would put his head in the water to see where you were. And he would be swimming around in the pool so he could swim over you. And when you came up to get air, he would pounce on you. And you had to go back down and try to find a place to come up where you could get air. When they came up, the dogs would be right there waiting for him. I mean, this dog was like a giant horse. And when you came up to get air, he pounced on you. We had to get away, or we had to drown. And it was three Great Danes that would be swimming in the pool, and they would be waiting on us to come up for air. And every place you rode, the dog would be there. So we were swimming in the pool, and my brothers, every time they came up for water, the dog was falling on top of them. So they had to keep going under the water and swimming until they got to the edge. And when they pulled up on the edge of the pool, the dogs were right there when they pulled up. So I was laughing. When they came up, the dogs would be right there waiting for them. I mean, this dog was like a giant horse. And when you came up to get air, he pounced on you. We had to get away, or we had to drown. So we had some good times at that pool, and I learned to swimming in my daddy's friend's pool. And I swam in his swimming pool for several years. And my godfather was hosting parties, cooking shrimp and cooking lobster and cooking crawdads. And all those crawdads were good. And the dogs were always there. We always had we were swimming. When they came up, the dogs would be right there waiting for us. I mean, this dog was like a giant horse. And when you came up to get Ed, he shouted on us. We had to get away, or we had to drown.
What's up, Las Vegas, and everybody around the world? This is G Money, the Pimp Comic, and I'm hosting Gregory's Stories Talk Radio Show. And it's an internet radio show that we're broadcasting on 7 continents. So everybody can pull up and listen to the activities we're talking about. I have the best radio show on the planet, and I'm the entertainer of the year for 2022. So welcome, everybody, to Talk Radio. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is about a situation. We had the Las Vegas Raiders now playing in Las Vegas, and they are from Oakland, California, where they won a national championship. They won a Super Bowl in Oakland, and then they moved to Los Angeles, and they were known as the Los Angeles Raiders, and they didn't do too good in Los Angeles, but they moved back to Oakland after being in L.A. for about 4 years. Then they moved back to Oakland, and they played in Oakland for maybe 10 years. And then they decided they wanted to come to Las Vegas, and they have been playing in Las Vegas. This is their second season in Las Vegas, and they are known as the Las Vegas Raiders. And they have a brand new stadium here. It's a beautiful 80,000 seat stadium that opens and closes according to the weather. It has a top that will shut the stadium and become an enclosed stadium if it's necessary. And the grass can be pushed in and out so the field can be adjusted for different events at the stadium. It's a multi-purpose stadium, but it cost like $6 billion to build. And now Las Vegas has the Las Vegas Raiders. And this is their second season. The first season, they almost made it to the playoffs. They played 16 games, 16 weeks, and they ended up an 8-8 record, 8 wins and 8 losses. So this year, they had a better chance because they got some new players, and they had a coaching change, and they were ready to play. And they got some all-star players that were ready to take the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, to the championship this year. This was supposed to be the the Raiders championship year. They were supposed to go and win the Super Bowl this year. And about 6 weeks into the season, their coach had some bad conversations about some of his players. He called them out of their name, and it came up on his email, and people found out about it, and he had to resign from being the head coach. So they lost their head coach in the middle of the season. So after that, they were still in first place in their division, but they had to play with a backup coach to come in. He was He was the special teams coach that ended up taking over and being the head coach. And he didn't do bad. The team still played well, and they had some really good players. But a lot of the players didn't realize that they were in Las Vegas, and that Las Vegas is a 24-hour town. That means we got 24-hour drinking, and we got 24-hour parties going on in Las Vegas. And if you're not from a 24-hour town, you kind of get lost in everything that's going on. And the all-star wide receiver that was catching all the passes for the football team, he was scoring most of the touchdowns for the football team. He went out one night, him and his female date. They went out, and I guess they did a lot of drinking. I don't know if they were gambling or if they went to eat or they were visiting with some people. But later on in the evening, about midnight or so, they were driving on the street, and they were driving in a Corvette, and the guy was drunk, and he was driving about 160 miles an hour. And I don't know why his girlfriend wasn't driving, because I'm assuming that she was less intoxicated. She should have been driving, but he was driving, and he ran a red light and hit a lady and killed a lady and her dog in the accident. So suddenly his football career is gone, because now he has to go to jail for murder, for the death of this lady and her dog. So his football career is over with. So he's no longer playing football for the Las Vegas Raiders. Now that's in the middle of the season. And the next week, the next man up was the next prime suspect, a star receiver that they had gotten to replace that receiver that was hurt in the accident and ended up going to jail. They brought another receiver in, and again, he was drinking and driving in Las Vegas. He obviously wasn't aware that Las Vegas is a 24-hour town. And he was drinking and driving, and he ran a light and hit a minivan that had six people in the minivan, and three of the people were killed in the car accident. So again, star football player for the Las Vegas Raiders is no longer playing football because now he's going to jail for the death of the people in the van. So that's two players in 2 weeks that are no longer playing with the Las Vegas Raiders. So now the Raiders are playing, and Derek Carr has to find some other receivers to throw the ball to because his two top receivers are in jail, and they're no longer members of the Las Vegas Raiders. They have lost their million-dollar contracts. Now, can you understand that, people? They lost their million-dollar contracts because they're no longer playing football anymore. But now they're doing time in jail for the death of the people injured in the accident. So now the Raiders are getting ready to prepare for the playoffs, and they're 9-8 in the league. They're in second place in their division, and they're qualifying for the playoffs. And then they had another player that was gambling in the casino, and for whatever reason, he got caught with a gun on his possession in the casino. Well, luckily, the football commission didn't kick him off the team because he didn't go to jail right away. He has to go to court for possession of a weapon in the casino. But he was able to play in the last game that the Las Vegas Raiders played in, and they lost the playoff game to the Cincinnati Bengals. And so now the Raiders end the season with a 9-9 record. So they had a better season, and they finished in second place, and they qualified for a wild card spot, but they lost in the wild card game to the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, that's the history of the Las Vegas Raiders. Now they're in Las Vegas, and we're hoping that they understand that they're in a 24-hour town, that it's drinking and it's partying all night long, every day of the week. So they need to adjust themselves, especially during football season, so that they can play out the season. Because I'm sure Derek Carr was missing his two wide receivers. And the third guy, I think he was a defensive player, but he got to play. So they didn't really miss him. They'll see what happens to him at the end of the season, which ended last week, the Super Bowl was last week, and the Los Angeles Rams won the Super Bowl. So they were the champions for this year's football season. So this is Talk Radio. I'm G Money, the Las Vegas promoter, and I'm saying that if you have a story to share with us on Blog Talk Radio on Gregory's Stories. We'll call in and share the stories with us. And that's area code 563-999-3560. Again, the phone number to call in to the station for the radio show is area code 563-999-3560. And you may have to dial a 1 before the area code 563. I've had some people try to call in and they couldn't get through. So I think you have to dial a 1 before you dial the area code. All right. Well, that's the story for today. So before we have Donald Gerard give us his interpretation of what he thinks about the story and the football players, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back for more of the show in a minute. San Francisco, and I went down the street, and these girls were smiling at me, waving at me, and I went back to my buddy's house, and I said, I, man, I was walking down the street, and there was some girls waving at me. It's a candy. It says, oh, girl waving at you. And I said, what? Are you serious? And we walked out of the house and walked down Polk Street. And I saw these group of girls.
It's a candy.
And they looked at us and started waving at us, saying, hey, come here. And my buddy's like, no, we're not going over there. And I'm like, why not? Those girls are calling.
It's a candy.
And he said, nope, they're not all girls. And I looked, and I said, they all got dresses on. And he said, that doesn't mean nothing. We're on Folk Street.
It's a candy.
Folk Street don't have girls on Folk Street. And I looked, and I said, what do you mean? They all got dresses on. He said, well, let's go over there and look.
It's a candy.
And he said, look at their neck. And I said, look at their neck. What do you mean? And I looked, and they said, the ones with the knot in their neck are not women.
It's a candy.
And I said, what? Are you serious? And I said, but they got dresses on. And I said, oh, my God. And I was, like, checking them out.
It's a candy.
And these girls were smiling at me. And I said, what? Are you serious? And these girls waving at me, smiling at me.
It's a candy.
And these girls waving at me, smiling at me. And girls would be waving at me, waving at me, smiling at me. And these girls waving at me, smiling at me. And girls would be waving at me, waving at me, smiling at me. I was like, oh, that's how you tell a man.
go up there and grab them in their nuts. And if you get a handful of dick, you know it's a man. But you might get popped. OG Money, the pimp coming. I can put it down, girl. We have a store on storytimewithgmoney.com where you can buy all kind of G-Money products, everything from towels to blankets, from cups to shot glasses, from T-shirts to baseball caps, and from beanies to hoodies. Yes, we have it all. So just put in your order. And you'll get it with the G, with the $3 sign. That's G Money. That's my symbol, and that's my brand. G with $3 signs is a symbol that you want to look for. And we're having a contest to see who can have the most G Money products in their room. So take a picture of yourself with all your G Money gear and send it to us. And we'll put you on the internet and make you famous on YouTube. And we looked up, and the blunt had gone all the way to the top of the arena.
Big Mouth Productions and G-House Media presents.
I hate being wet. In fact, I get mad when I got to take a shower.
The one you've been waiting for.
And when we finish with the front side, I'll turn you over and do the back.
G Money, the teacher from the streets.
And I was like, a DUI? How did I get a DUI?
G Money, the pimp comic.
I like crack. Boy, crack is the shit.
You don't want to sleep on this one.
I had been drinking, so I was feeling no pain, and I was driving.
G Money, the pimp comic and teacher from the streets, coming soon to a liquor store near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? Would you like to make a lot of money? Would you like to increase your wealth? Would you like to be rich? Would you like to increase your personal net worth? Well, you need to join G Money's wealth building team. Join Team We Believe. That's right. You can join the team by going to Gregory G Money Girard's Facebook page or go to Storytime with G Money and sign up with GS Partners and join the wealth building team. That's right. We're building wealth in the communities all over the world. So all you have to do, sign up and become a member of GS Partners Wealth Building Situation. And you can start collecting G999 coins. The more coins you own, the more money you can make. And the more money you make, the richer you can be. You can increase your personal wealth by millions of dollars. So contact G Money Radio Show and listen to the daily report on the value of the G999 coin for your networking pleasure. The more coins you own, the more money you'll make. So join Team We Believe. You can be rich.
You're listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366.
That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/GregoryGerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then send Gregory your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory@BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, what's up, Las Vegas and everybody around the world? This is G Money, the pimp comic, and I'm the ultimate storyteller. And you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Gregory Stories, and it's a talk radio show. And we have to change the phone number. We're sorry we haven't done that yet. But our number is area code 563-999-3560. That's the number you use to call in to the station to share some of your stories or your comments with us. Or if you just wanted to call in and listen to the radio show, you can call that number. Again, that's area code 563-999-3560. Okay, now we have Donald Gerard is our life coach, and he's going to give us some information about the situations with the drivers and the football players on the Las Vegas Raiders football team. Okay. Donald.
Hey, G-Money, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. We still got to change.
So basically, okay. So basically, you just told three stories about three men who made very poor decisions. and that's really, I mean, that's really all it was. Individuals deciding, drinking excessively and then driving. An individual bringing a firearm to a casino, right?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So we just had, basically, you just had three situations where three individuals just made very poor decisions. And it has nothing to do with where they were or how old they are or anything. They just did stupid things. They didn't do stupid things. They made poor decisions. It's a poor decision to bring a firearm to a casino. It's a poor decision to drink and drive. And so that's really, really all we have here for these three scenarios.
Yeah. And these gentlemen, well, two of the three of them, lost a $1 million career behind their drinking and driving. And don't you think they should have had somebody else driving for them? Or they could have hired a taxi, or they could have hired an Uber driver. I mean, it's a lot of people that they could have had driving in their place, because I'm sure they had the money to pay for it. They were making millions of dollars. So they ended up losing their career behind the thought that they didn't think about drinking. And then driving. So welcome.
Well,
to
yeah,
Las
they,
Vegas.
They didn't. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's not a Las Vegas issue. People do this all the time, every day, all over the country. They make poor decisions about drinking and driving. So, I mean, and people lose a lot of things. They lose their careers. They lose their family. They kill people. They lose their vehicles. You know, it's not about what they lost, but it's the fact that they made a poor decision. That's really what's important. that's what's important about these scenarios. These people made poor decisions. They were responsible for the decisions that they made, and they just made poor decisions, and now they have to live with the consequences.
Yeah.
Period.
That is so true. That's the bottom line. Okay, DJ, what's the time check?
It is now 3:35 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm initiating. I want callers to call in and share stories with us on the radio show, but I also want them to prepare to send us stories so that we can put it in a movie or what do we call it? We're producing a movie and producing help me, DJ. Well, we're producing a podcast too, but we're producing what is that called? Not a movie. It's a documentary. That's what we're doing. We're putting a documentary together from stories or about stories that happened in South Central Los Angeles. Now, when we say South Central L.A., we mean from the 20s, 20th Street, all the way up to Manchester, which is about 85th Street in L.A. That's considered South Central. And even though I didn't grow up actually in South Central, I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood. I grew up in the 60s area. And in the middle of the 60s, they had a lot of situations that were going on. So I want people to think about activities that were happening in their neighborhoods from Figueroa on the east side of Los Angeles to Crenshaw Boulevard on the west side of Los Angeles and from Manchester on the south side to, well, we were going down as far as Slauson in South L.A. And we want to talk about the situations and experiences that people had living in those in that area where they were involved in maybe some gang activity, because the gangs got started in the 70s, and we want to hear about gang situations. We want to hear about the demographics that changed, because some of the neighborhoods were all white neighborhoods and they eventually changed to black neighborhoods. We had some neighborhoods that were high income neighborhoods and they changed into ghettos, low income neighborhoods. So we want people to call in and tell us about the changes that they experienced while they were growing up in L.A. And we want to talk about some of the events that happened, like Rodney King got stopped by the police department, and he tried to run, and they chased his car down. And when they trapped him, they pulled him out the car and they beat him up. Now, that was something that had been happening in L.A. for for a lot of years, everybody that lived in L.A. knew the police were violent like that. But it wasn't until it got caught on camera, somebody actually videotaped the police beating Rodney King up. So now there's evidence that the police were very aggressive. And LAPD has been known to be a very aggressive police department because they're trying to control the city. But not only did they get caught on camera and the world saw it on the news, then the four police officers that went to court for beating Rodney King, he got off. They got off. Even though it was evidence, the videotape was evidence that they beat Rodney King up. And the police got away with it. And because of that situation, there was a riot in L.A. And I don't know where else in the country they had unrest because of the situation that happened in L.A. That's one of the causes of the unrest in L.A. And then they had the Watts riots, which was due to some other situations. And if people lived in Watts or they lived in Compton, which is next to Watts, they would have information that they could share with us to put in the documentary about the cause of the Watts riots. Because the change in the community where they were burning businesses, and a lot of the businesses were black owned, and they were burning up their own community. And that's something that we really couldn't understand. But because of the nature of the riot, you know, my dad was sent in to Watts to help rebuild Watts because he was a city planner, a commissioner in charge of rebuilding Watts, redoing the streets and the highways and the sidewalks and the freeways. Yeah, he was put in charge of that area redevelopment. And that was one of the reasons that the city went through that civil unrest. And my father was sent in to, I guess he was a black man, so they put him in charge so that, I don't know, so that people wouldn't be really upset, that they wouldn't go crazy because they had a black man in charge. I don't know. But that was due to the unrest in the city, in the Watts riots. And Rodney King was part of that. And Reginald Denny was driving down Manchester, and he got pulled out of his 18-wheeler because he stopped at a truck stop. He stopped at a light. And because the people were upset because Rodney King had gotten beat up by the police, then they took it upon themselves to start jumping people that were white, that were driving through the neighborhoods, and Reginald Denning just happened to be a white 18-wheeler truck driver that had stopped at a light, and some guys jumped him. They pulled him out of his truck and beat him up. And I guess they considered that revenge for Rodney King. And they had a lot of other things that were going on in South Central L.A. Like they had some after-hour parties at some houses where they had after-hours. I know of one after-hour spot that was on 10th Avenue and 69th Street. And that's between Florence Avenue and Crenshaw Boulevard. It was a house in that neighborhood where they had after hours, where you could go and you could buy alcohol and you could drink and you could party and you could dance and you could eat food and you could play cards until 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And the after hours started after the nightclubs in L.A. closed at 2 o'clock. So you could go to this after hours and you could continue your party. Now, I visited the after hours a few times because I was young, but I was 21, so I was old enough to get in. So I heard about it. I went there with some friends of mine, and it was a real interesting situation. They had a little of everything going on in there. They had dancing. They had drinking. They were selling food and selling alcohol. They were smoking weed. They were doing a little everything. But it was an after hours. And that was just one of several spots. There was an after hours in the 40s block between Normandy and Vermont, which is where the SLA was when they got trapped in a house and the police surrounded the house and ended up shooting up the house, killing everybody in the SLA. And that's the Symbionese Liberation Army, where SynQ was the leader. And they say that Patty Hearst had joined the organization. But originally she was kidnapped and she was made a member of the organization. And that was in the 40s block between Normandy and Vermont. And they set that house on fire and the police killed everybody in the house. Right in that neighborhood, there used to be an after-hours house where you could go and party. And I think that's where I saw Biggie Smalls before he got killed in L.A. So he was at an after-hours party, and he was partying. Somebody had brought him to the after-hours spot, and he was talking stuff about he wasn't scared of the punks in L.A. And I heard him say that, and I was like, uh-oh, it's going to be some drama. I'm out of here. And I left, and I heard later that he had gotten killed. And somebody had shot him. But that was an after-hours spot on the east side of L.A. between Normandy and Vermont. So these are the stories that I'm interested in hearing people call in or submit to our group of organizers that are putting the documentary together or putting the movie together. We will have a contact address that we will put out on my radio show for people to submit their stories, because we want you to call in and tell the stories on the radio show. But we also want you to submit them so that we can collect all the stories and put them in some sort of order so that we can put it together and share it with the world. It could be a documentary. We're thinking we're going to call it 65th Place Documentary. Or the movie of 65 Street in L.A. So we're looking for anybody that has any interesting stories. Now, the Crips were started in one of the junior high schools in that section of town called Horse Mann Junior High School, where it was 7th through 9th graders. And that's where the Crips were organized and they started. And anybody that has any other information different than that, I'd like to hear about it, because it was right around the corner from where I was born and raised. And I used to see them traveling every day to meetings up at the junior high school. So formation of the Los Angeles Crips. And after the Crips became big, and everybody wanted to be a Crip after that. They didn't know anything about the history of the Crips. They just knew they wanted to be a Crip. And they had South Side Crips. They had West Coast Crips. They had East Side Crips. They had Northtown Crips. They had Crips of all colors and all characters, even though the Crips wear blue and they wear black. That's the rags that they wear. Like Snoop wears a blue rag hanging from his left pocket because he's a Long Beach Crip. Long Beach. Dog Pound Gangster Crip. And he still represents. He's doing it for all the gangsters around the world, according to his song. And what other things can I think about that happened in South Central L.A., in Los Angeles? Oh! We want to talk about education. We want to talk about Crenshaw High School, who was the basketball champion school in L.A. County. They were the city champs. The Crenshaw Cougars were the city champs. So when you're talking sports, you're talking about Crenshaw High School. And you want to talk about marching bands? You're talking about Crenshaw High School marching band. And you want to talk about the baseball team? Daryl Strawberry played baseball for Crenshaw. And when they went to the city championship game, he hit a home run at Dodger Stadium And that's what got him into the pros, because he hit the long fly ball out of Dodger Stadium. And they said, hey, this kid can hit, so we want to sign him up. And he was playing in the city championship game when he hit that home run. And I think Crenshaw High School won the city championship in baseball. But they won a couple of years in basketball, and they represented the city for a while. So sports was really big in South Central. And we had music in South Central too. NWA with Eazy-E and Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. But that was on the east side in Compton. But that was the change of the rap music, where Compton became the rap music capital of the world. And they talked about Kill the Police, because they didn't support the police. The police were stopping anybody black driving anything nice. If you were driving nice Cadillacs or you were driving Mercedes-Benz, then you were getting stopped. And that's when they started that Driving While Black, DWB. So that's what started the rap music, where they became very expressive. And I know people know about Eve After Dark. That was on El Segundo and Avalon, or El Segundo and Central. But that was a nightclub where all the rappers used to meet, and they used to go on stage and perform their rap songs when rap starts. And NWA was one of the first performers in that nightclub, Eve After Dark. So that's where the music started, the rap music started in the Compton area, and Compton became the rap capital of rap music. So we had sports in Crenshaw and music in Compton, and we had gangs in Compton. And we had the change of social the social climate changed in the areas between Crenshaw and Figueroa, because Yo-Yo was on Figueroa and 77th Street, and Figueroa was prostitutes. It was whole stroll at one time in L.A. And then it moved to Century Boulevard, closer to the airport. But that's where you would find all the hookers. And Yo-Yo lived on 77th and Figueroa. And she was one of the first female rappers to be established or to star in rap music. So we could talk about the change of black and white living in the community, how the communities changed We want to hear stories about that. We want to hear stories about the music, how the music changed in those communities. We want to talk about sports in those communities. We want to talk about the nightclubs and the after-hour spots in those communities. And any other, the civil unrest, like Rodney King and the Watts riots, and the riots that expanded all through L.A. because of the Rodney King verdict. All of those things we want to talk about on the radio show, but we want to get that information submitted to us for us to put together the documentary or the movie that we're putting together. I'm G Money, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. Me and Donald are working on the documentary for everybody's viewing pleasure and the information that developed South Central LA. And I think I covered everything. DJ, what's the time check?
It is now 4:02 p.m. Pacific time.
All right. Well, I guess the clock on the wall says that's all. It's time for us to do the birthday acknowledgement. So if you signed up for your birthday to be recognized, all you got to do is go to storytimewithgmoney.com and pull up the website and then look at the menu and see where it says fan club members and just sign up with your name, your phone number, and your address and put your date of birth. And we will put you on our list to acknowledge your birthday on the day that it is recognized as your official birthday. So tomorrow we will continue with the story of a football player that should have played in the Super Bowl because he was doing something else. He didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you about that story tomorrow. So, DJ, do we have any birthdays we want to acknowledge today?
We have a few birthdays today. Today is February 17, 2022. We want to say happy birthday to Jerome Reed, who's 55 years old today. Happy birthday, Nisi, living in my purpose. Happy birthday to Kimberly Morris Dove. She's a Zeta. Happy birthday to Nathalyn. That's it. Nathalyn Lyons Williams. That's an interesting name, 58 years old today. Happy birthday to Leslie Souls, who's a Zeta. Happy birthday to Naeem Abdur Rafi, who is 80 years old today. Happy birthday, Jose Rivera, okay. Tracy, who is a Zeta. Sharita Hilton, who is also a Zeta. And last but not least, Aisha Richards. Happy birthday to everyone for February 17, 2022.
All right. Well, I want to say happy birthday to my sorority sisters, all the Zetas. Happy birthday, Sora. Yes, this is from your big brother. I'm known as Serious Business. Big Brother Serious from Lambda Kappa chapter. UC Davis and Delta Beta chapter at Cal State Hayward in Oakland. All right. I'm wishing all of my stars happy birthday. And everybody else, all the other Greeks and all the other members that are fan club members of mine, that are G-Money's fan club members, I want to wish you all happy birthday. And may you have many, many, many more. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody that's born today, February 17th, 2022. Celebrate your birthday. Make sure you get some good stuff, because today is your special day, and you should be recognized for having a birthday today, because you're very special people, and we want to recognize you for being so very special on today, your birthday. Make sure you get something good. Get something sweet, you know, get some, get some cake or some cookies or, you know, some ice cream or some pie or something like that, you know, get something to wet your whistle. All right, well, now it's time for us to pray to get rid of this virus. So, DJ, can you play our prayer so that we can get out of here? And we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock for our Friday show. This will be the first Friday show since December 19th, 2019, which was the death of my mother. She died the day before my birthday. So this will be the first Friday show we'll be doing since my mother's death. So we're going to get it kicked off again tomorrow, and we're going to bring you Friday show every week from now on. So enjoy. Until tomorrow night, we'll see you at 3 o'clock on Friday. And we'll talk about some football tomorrow. Okay, DJ, play the prayer and let us pray to stop this virus from spreading. Talking to you as Reverend G. Money, because I've read in the Bible that it says if two or more people come together in my name, I will be there. Well, I hope we had more than two people praying with me so that God could be in our midst and help us get through this situation, because only God can stop this virus, since we're not smart enough to stop it ourselves. So I want to take my platform, take my radio show, and I want to use this opportunity so that we can pray to God. I think we should have prayer, and all of the listeners can join me in prayer. And I pray that God gives me the words and the wisdom to say the right thing.
and gives me the knowledge to impress everybody with my wisdom and have the Holy Spirit bless me at this time. In the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I pray to you that you come down and you dissolve this virus that's affecting everybody around the world. I ask that you stop the death and the dying, and you stop the machine guns and the killing on the planet, and you stop the burials and the wars that are going on the planet. I ask that you come in and you interrupt the devil for what he's trying to do to the earth. I ask that you stop the virus and slow down or eliminate all the deaths from the virus in the United States and around the world. I ask you, Lord, that you take control of the school district so that they do the right thing, so that kids don't go to school and infect their teachers and infect other students with the virus, the ones that have the virus, or the ones that don't even know if they have the virus, but they're going to school and being in crowded classrooms anyway. Lord, I ask you to stop all the prejudice and all the gun violence in the world, that we can stop people from killing each other, that we can interrupt all of the hate and the prejudice on the planet, that we can stop the wars on the planet, and that we can live in peace and harmony, that black and white and Asians and Mexicans and Indians can all get along, because we're all in this place together and we are living for the purpose of trying to be good citizens. And we ask that you bless us with your graces and stop all of the violence and get rid of all of the evil that the devil is presenting to the planet. And you pray for our president, because we really didn't know what we were doing when we elected Donald Trump as president. He's really turning out to be an idiot. And we need to have some real leadership in this time of pandemic affairs. So I ask you, Lord, in the name of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless us and save us from all of the ignorance that's bestowed upon us on this planet. And I also want to pray that we get the cure for the virus. Lord Jesus, I ask you, since you are the Savior of the world, to continue to bless us and look over us and look after us as we are doing the best we can to exist on this planet together among each other. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory is yours, now and forever. And in your name, I say, hallelujah, 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 Lord God on high. Amen.
Thank you for joining Gregory Gerard on Blog Talk Radio. Gregory Stories is live on the air every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Las Vegas time. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard, where you can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, leave a comment, and find him on social media. If you are a talented artist with original music, send your press kit and a sample of your original music to Gregory Gerard at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, contact Gregory at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. If you're interested in learning more about how you can help solve homelessness in Las Vegas, contact Gregory Gerard at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. Gregory Stories is produced by Big Nasty Records, a subsidiary of Big Nasty Promotions, LLC.